What do you think is the greatest benefit a person can receive by believing the gospel? Blessing can be received through the Christian gospel. There's no doubt about it. Anybody who will come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ is going to receive a blessing. The church has long been recognized as the source of benefits, of good things happening to people. And usually, when you think about the opening of a new church, the whole community appreciates it, because somehow, regardless of what denomination it is and regardless of what sort of a church it will be in the size and so on, just the opening of a church promises that there'll be another center from which good will come. And generally speaking, even though people may not be Christians, it's understood that this blessing, that this good result, these benefits come through Jesus Christ. And that includes such things as this. Children are taught, and the church is always led out in the training and the teaching of children. Sick people are helped. If there were no hospital in the community, you could expect the church to promote the building of a hospital. Orphans are cared for. If by any chance there are orphans left around nowadays, we look for some orphanage that we can recommend them to and take them to, and most of these orphanages are the work of the churches. Poor people are helped. Regardless of all that the government does and everything else that's done with reference to helping the poor, the truth of the matter is that round the world, even to this day, it is the poor that have the gospel preached unto them. If there are people that are to be found blind, and we send them to the institutes for the blind or various homes for the blind, you're not far away from a church. The church has done a lot for blind people and for people who are incurably sick. And then there are other benefits from the church. For instance, the church act being active in the community and people going to the church, it will foster or cultivate in a man integrity. And integrity is so meaningful in every way. For his life and for his family and for his business, integrity is important. Temperance is encouraged. If you would think about the inroads that alcohol make upon the life of American people and how the alcohol can be such a curse to so many people and so on, and you say, well, what agency or what group of people will ever work against this? And someone will tell you the church, and you might ask, if a man were really addicted to alcohol, what chance is there for him? And immediately you begin to think, if he were thoroughly converted and the Lord Jesus were in him, he would be set free. And you'd be right. That's the way it would follow. Also, peace is shared and is sought for by the people who come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And people sort of expect social problems to be solved by the activity of the church, that when you have a group of Christian people banded together, you can expect that your social problems will somehow receive constructive attention. Injustices will be corrected. If there is a case of where some strong group or individual is hurting some poor and weak person, you're not far away from where a church, some church, will move to correct an injustice. And righteousness is taught. I've simply scanned a few things, named a few things, that you just naturally expect is going to take place in a church. In other words, the church is an asset to public life. And the Christian is definitely a strong, positive element in good public relations and good public work. But is this the reason we should seek Jesus Christ? Actually, do you think that's what we actually come to the Lord Jesus Christ for? You remember that in our study here in John, and we're studying in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, we had just noted the feeding of the 5,000. And now, in the portion we have before us today, and we're going to study verses 22 to 27, if you have your Bibles, we'll open them in chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. We're going to see in here, as we study along in here, that as a result of the feeding of the 5,000, the people were so stirred, they wanted to make him a king. In other words, because of the temporal blessing that they received, because they received food when they were hungry, they wanted to give him temporal honor and give him temporal power and authority so that he could do more along that line. So they wanted to make him a king. And then they found out that that is not what he wanted. But so here in chapter 6 in verses 22 to 24, you will read that this is what they wanted to do, that they came seeking for him, and we know that they wanted to honor him and put him in the position of king. So we read that the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, they found that the Lord Jesus wasn't there, they discovered that he had gone, they also took a ship, as it were. In verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. Now remember, these people, you might say, well, that's wonderful, they're seeking for the Lord. Yes, but remember, these are the people who had been fed with the 5,000 that had been fed those loaves and fishes, and they saw that this was the possible source for the solution of their practical problems. Maybe they would never be hungry again. Maybe everything would be taken care of because this king would provide for them. Because of temporal benefits, they wanted more temporal benefits, and they wanted them permanently. And now I want to bring something to your mind today. Seeking the temporal benefits of the gospel, and by temporal I mean the benefits of life for life in this world, the teaching of the children, the helping of the sick, the caring for the orphans, the helping of the poor, the ministering to the blind and the incurables, doing all these things that pertain to this life, the developing of integrity for business, the developing of temperance and self-control in personal life, the developing of a strong family relations and solving the community problems in society and so on, all of those things that we have that belong here in this world, that's not enough. Seeking the temporal benefits of the gospel is not good enough. Now I want to show you how you see this here. Look in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, that is, you saw that I was God and that I had the power of God, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You received a practical, personal benefit out of being around with me, and now you want some more practical, personal benefits." Now look at verse 27. "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Do not continue looking for personal, practical, temporal benefits that will help you in this world, in this life, when you're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of those things you received when you came to him to attract your attention to him, but his great ministry to you does not concern food or shelter or clothing. It doesn't concern health, doesn't concern the things of this world. It concerns your soul. It has to do with your relationship with God. To be sure, in becoming a Christian, personal integrity is secured. And if you become a Christian and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get to be an honest, decent man. And that's good for your family in a domestic way. You'll make a good husband. You'll be a better father for that. That's true. And it's good in a social way. You'll be a good citizen. You'll be a good neighbor. You'll be a decent man in public, and you'd be a fair, square man in business, and you'd be a reliable man in politics. That's all true. And that's true in economic interest, that you'd be dependable, and that if we had had you, you'd pay your debts and all that sort of thing. But that's not good enough. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. Do not devote your attention and your time in coming to the Lord for these practical benefits. Have something in mind about coming to the Lord Jesus, that if you were to die tonight, you'd have it. You don't have to live longer in this world to have it. You don't have to demonstrate it. Let us just suppose that you received something from the Lord Jesus Christ right today, and if you were paralyzed tonight and could never move a hand again tomorrow, you'd fully have what the Lord Jesus wanted to give you. It isn't that he's going to give you something that'll make you an extra good person. He'll make you good, and you'll be different than you were. But that's not the main thing. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. Again, personality improvements will occur if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You used to be the kind of person that worried a lot. You don't need to worry anymore. You used to be the kind of person that flew off the handle and you got mad. Now you have an quiet, even temper. Used to be the kind of person that would dissipate yourself, and you got into all kinds of addictions of one sort and another, and you did things you weren't supposed to do, and you became a Christian, you were set free. Thank the Lord. But personality improvements, well, they occur, and they're good for you. They're not good enough. That's not the reason why you become a Christian. You become a Christian because of your personal relationship with the Lord. It's true that Christians make a fine class of people, and that you live in a Christian community, you're better off than you would have been otherwise. And being a Christian is good for business. You have a Christian man in the office, you're a way ahead. It's good for matrimony, even. If you marry a Christian man as a woman, you marry a Christian man, you're fortunate. And if any man marries a Christian woman, he's fortunate. These things are true, but they're not good enough. Labor not for the meat that perishes. Listen, you could become a child of God. You could actually become at one with Christ. You could actually be a member of the bride of Christ. You could belong to the Lord Jesus Christ the way a bride belongs to the bridegroom. You could have personal dealings with God. And if you never raised a hand again and never stepped another foot again, you could have in heaven and in glory everything right now that, and forever that you have right now with Him. You'd be a member of His body. Certainly you'll be active. Certainly you'll do things. But it isn't in the action, it isn't in what you do that your life constitutes. Your life is constituted by belonging to the Lord. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Sure, but we're His, and we belong to Him, and He belongs to us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And so let me raise the question again with you. The greatest benefit that you can have in the gospel, what you really want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ about, is that you belong to Him and He belongs to you, and you have Him in your heart. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand these things, and while we thank Thee and praise Thy name for every benefit we receive, we pray for grace to look into Thy face and to receive the blessing of fellowship with Thee, that we may properly appreciate what Thou hast done. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.